Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from the book of Habakkuk, starting in chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. That's Habakkuk, chapter 3, 17 to 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm glad that Tom has gone first this morning. I could see Tom was a little bit nervous, but that helps me because I always feel nervous when I stand up to speak in front of a group. So I thought if Tom can come up and be bold, then I can also come up and be bold. So thank you, Tom. There are three things I wanted to do this morning. First of all, I just wanted to give thanks to the church. Could we have the first slide? So yeah, there are three things. First of all, I wanted to give thanks to the church. I also want to talk a little bit about God's blessings in our lives, and I also, as the last thing, to give testimony of some of the things which God is doing in Uganda. Those of you who don't know us, we are working with Youth with a Mission in Uganda, and we've been there for the last 13 years, so we have some testimonies of things that God is doing. I don't know, can you see that? I don't know whether the... Okay, but what I wanted to give thanks for anyway was to the church, because last year you had a gift day, and you gave some money, and some of that money came to Uganda, and it did different things in Uganda. I don't know, I think you can't see the slide, it doesn't really matter, but one of the things that your money did, you helped us to build what is called a biogas digester. So on Hopeland, where we are working, we have been cooking using firewood, but with the money to build the biogas digester, we are now using gas. And the gas comes from our cow dung and our pig dung. They go into the digester and they turn into gas, and then the gas is used for cooking. So that's one of the things that your money has done. The other thing, the largest part of the money went to help build this school, which is in northern Uganda. Now, I don't know, some of you know the story of northern Uganda. It's been a sad story for a number of years, because of a rebel group called the Lord's Resistance Army. There was a horrible war. Many people were killed. And as YWAM, we felt that we should go and do something there. So as the war came to an end, we felt that we should go and help in this. This is a refugee camp called Cottamore. And they had a school, but during the war it was wrecked. So we felt to go and help them rebuild the school. And your money was used to roof this building here. If you can see in the slide, it's not roofed, but your money was used to roof that building. So thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that. The second thing I wanted to do was talk about God's blessings in our lives. Now, I've spent time this week with two lovely brothers and sisters in Christ. One of them, he works with a ministry. He leads a ministry in the UK, which is the ministry of an American, a famous American evangelist and teacher. And that American evangelist and teacher, he has his own private aeroplane, which he uses to fly backwards and forwards whenever he's going on his journeys. He sees that as a blessing from God. The other lovely sister who I spent time with, she has just seen her son. She is a believer. Her son is also a believer. Her son has just been released from prison after spending 2 or 3 years in prison. And she told me that it was a blessing that her son had gone to prison. Because if he hadn't gone to prison, she doesn't know where his life was leading him. And she sees that as a blessing. Two very different blessings, but each person testifying to the blessing of God. We've sung a song this morning, which is one of my favorite songs, and it says, every blessing you pour out, I will turn back to praise. Every blessing you pour out. And there's a line in that which, we are saying we are blessed because the sun is shining on us here in Penarth. It's lovely to see the sun after a long time. And there's a line in that song which says, blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me. But I sometimes wonder how my friends in Uganda would interpret that line. Because to them, if a visitor comes and it starts to rain when the visitor comes, they say that the visitor has brought blessing. Because for people in Uganda, the sun can be a curse. When it's beating down on your back and your crops are shriveling in the fields, you say thank you, God, when it starts to rain. And I recognize that as a plant grows, it needs the blessings of sunshine, but it also needs the blessings of rain to be healthy. And there's a well-known Christian author. He's called Richard Foster. He puts the same message in a slightly different picture. He says that outside of his house, there is a very big and beautiful tree. At least in the summer, the tree is very beautiful because the tree is covered in beautiful leaves. It is very beautiful looking, very fruitful, and to use one of the words that I've learnt here, it is very lush. And he says he looks out of his window in the summer and he enjoys looking at that tree. Now, I know that we have enjoyed what I will call the summer blessings in our lives. Even last time I was here speaking to you 3 years ago, we were testifying about the amazing way that God had brought Ben here. There was a long story which Claire and Roger know well. God had brought our son Ben from Uganda and brought him to a wonderful school here, and we were giving testimony of that. And I could give more testimonies like that. Even this time as we came to the UK, we didn't know where we were going to stay, but we knew that it was going to be somewhere in the Bath area because our daughter was at school there, and we were praying. And you know how you talk with God in your prayers, and we were saying, God, wouldn't it be wonderful if the house that we live in was one of those beautiful Bath stone houses? And wouldn't it be wonderful if it had roses growing up the walls? And wouldn't it be wonderful if there were fruit trees in the garden? And we didn't know where we were going to stay, but when we found the house that we're staying in, it has roses growing up the walls. It's a beautiful Bath stone house, and it has fruit trees growing in the garden. And we say, thank you, God, for those blessings. Let me call those the summer blessings. We enjoy it when the sun is shining down on us, when we can feel fruitfulness, when we can feel the lushness of walking with Jesus. But Richard Foster, he also talks about the blessings of winter. Now, the blessings of summer, they are blessings, but they also have dangers that go with them. And one of the dangers that I see is that that beautiful tree, when everything is going well, it can start to feel proud. And it can say, ah, look at me, I am magnificent. And I have done it, and I have grown above the other trees, and I am more fruitful than the other trees. And it forgets that it is not responsible for the fertility of the soil in which it is growing. It is not responsible for the rain which is falling on it, and it is not responsible for the sun, which is causing it to be beautiful. So there is that danger in the summer blessings, much as we enjoy them. And I would say to you, if you're enjoying the summer blessings now, take heart, because the winter blessings are coming for you also. And Richard Foster describes the winter blessings. He says that when the leaves fall from that magnificent tree, then you see the branches of the tree. And they do not look so magnificent. They are somehow twisted and ugly and broken. And there are little places where there is mold growing on those branches. We have also discovered the winter blessings. I would say that maybe the last 3 years of my life have been a season of winter blessings. Those things are not so nice. We have seen colleagues murdered by thieves. We saw a little boy who was part of our community. He was eating his supper one day, and he choked. One minute he was running around, happy, laughing. 10 minutes later he had choked on a piece of meat and he was dead. I have known discouragement. I have known battles with sin in my life, which I do not seem to be able to overcome. And I have walked with those winter blessings also. But the good of those winter blessings are that they do show you what is really happening in your life. And they really cause you to seek God and to push your roots deeper into Him. Let me call those the winter blessings. The danger of the winter blessings. There is also danger in the winter blessings. We can lose hope. We can think that the summer is never going to come. I don't know how many of you know the... Have you watched or read Lord of the Rings? I think some of you know that, yeah. That film very well. But do you know there's a character? He is one of the kings. He's called Lord Denethor. And he has been given a ball in which he can see the future. Only the future that he sees is the future according to Satan. He sees only death and destruction. And he loses hope. And just at the moment when help is about to arrive, he has lost hope and he commits suicide. He needed to hang on for another 10 minutes and help was coming and he would have seen his deliverance. But he looked into the future and he saw Satan's vision of the future and he lost hope. So I want to say to you, if you're experiencing the winter blessings now, please do not lose hope. And do not forget that you are loved. Do not forget that you are loved. Rob Parsons was speaking 2 weeks ago, and I think many of you would have heard Rob Parsons, but he gave a wonderful message about the unconditional love of God. Know that you are loved. And the last thing I wanted to say about the winter blessings is, when you're experiencing those winter blessings, choose to turn them into praise. Every blessing you pour out, I will turn back to praise. And I've chosen this wonderful passage from Habakkuk, where Habakkuk writes, though the fig tree does not bud, this is a picture of winter, if ever there was a picture of winter, though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines, the crops fail, and the fields produce no food, there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. Yet, I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. What a wonderful faith Habakkuk has to be able to say that. That when there is nothing according to his physical eyes that he can see to give praise for, yet he will still choose to give praise to God. What a wonderful faith that man has. And if you're experiencing the winter blessings, I also want to say to you, take heart, because the summer blessings are just around the corner. They're coming for you too. As I was praying yesterday, I just had the sense that there may be one or two people in this church who are trying to hang on to summer blessings. And of course, you cannot hang on to summer blessings. I was walking in the park and it was a beautiful summer's day. But the summer has to pass and give way to winter. So if you're hanging on to those summer blessings, don't be frightened. Let them go and enjoy also the time of development and growth which comes with the winter blessings. Thank you. That was the second thing. Now I'm going to give testimony of some of the things which God is doing in Hope Plan. But I wanted to set that as context. Because when we give testimony, we tend to talk about the good things which God is doing. And of course there are wonderful good things that God is doing. But in the context, we have also had struggles and pains and problems. But they are also blessings from God. So Hope Plan is my home in Uganda. It's a Christian community. Uganda is famous or infamous because of HIV. So Hope Plan Community was founded to be an answer to some of the problems of HIV. And I have become convinced increasingly that the best way to fight HIV is to lead people to know Christ and to disciple them. So one of the key things which we do in Hopeland is evangelism. So I'm going to ask Matthew, he's leading our evangelism team, so I'm going to ask Matthew to come forward and share a brief testimony of what God is doing with the evangelism.
Thank you. My name is Matthew. I'm come from Tonga. And I'm married. I have 5 children, but they're not here with us. I mostly talk about today a little bit about what I'm doing. I've been doing evangelism, but mostly focusing prisons. And maybe you understand, you know, prisons over there are totally different from the way in here. And a way of living, food, medicine, different things. But like what you say, you know, this inmate is many of them, maybe 95% of them is no hope, no family to come and see them, nothing, any support, you know. You know, when you are inside, you look like you will be not a human being or not part of the community, of the family. And this inmate in there is look like there's no other way for them. Nobody care for them, nobody love for them. And God put these people in my heart. Why? Because I've been in that life for many years. And I know how to be a prisoner. And how to be feel like you nobody care for you. You feel like lonely, you feel like not accept. You feel like nobody because that's, you know, that and I've been studying that ministry for about 5 years now, and starting with small number, what we've been doing, we just go there to talk about the love of God in their life, and also try to see how we can help in physical way, because many people die in there because of sickness, many disease, especially skin disease, because of dirty. They cannot afford to buy a piece of soap to wash their clothes or clean themselves. And medical says nothing. The government's only helping mostly if you really the free medical care is only for HIV and nothing else. The painkillers only most what they give. Afford to give to is one of them. And clothes is one of it. Many of them, they can wear clothes and see many, you know, they don't really have, can see holes everywhere. And what God put it in my heart, not only disciple them and now, and we can see about 200 inmates, women, men, remand, and death penalty, people who are waiting to die, and also convicts, people who are descended, and they're going to serve, and they go home. It's around 2,000 inmates, which the Mexican prison where I'm working. And if maybe altogether, if I see, it's around 373 inmates give their life to Christ from prisons. And I know the church is growing, and I see God love and transform life inside. And I see God see the way of us as we see people. Imagine if somebody come and rape your daughter. This is an example. What are you feeling? You're feeling like me. I'm feeling I want to kill you. I don't want to do anything for you. I'm feeling I don't want to forgive you. And this kind of, that's how I'm thinking. And when I started to working and see the love of God through me to them, then I started to see my eyes how God sees these people. They need to be loved. They need to be accepted. They need to be know who God is. And God is doing something inside. God is still doing, and I still believe the church is still growing inside in prisons. And we still have many people who are continuing the work of God in there. And continue to pray for these people. And I believe revival is going to be in prisons. Not only in Uganda, but I believe everywhere in the world. I want to finish my testimony with this dancing is like part of my life. That's my message always. God really used to challenge my walking with him, but see my faith, like Dr. Tim said, is not easy. so many challenges we've gone through. But you, God, He's the only hope in whatever you're doing. And I always, this dancing, always like my worship. And like God always encouraged me with it.
Last time when we came with our daughter Peace, and we would like to share more of Peace's testimony because it also describes another aspect of our work in Uganda, which is discipleship. It's good to lead people to Christ, but beyond that, you have to help them to walk further forward in their relationship. So I've asked Jackie, she's going to share something of Peace's testimony.
I think that some of you met Peace before when she was here. But I just want to share a little, and I think she shared a little bit then. So for those of you who weren't there when she came, Peace came from a very bruised and battered background, and her childhood was very childhood and youth was very tough in many, many ways. She had both a mum and a dad, but they never were together. And throughout her childhood, she was sent from one home to another home to another home. So she never had any stability in her life. She was always the servant in the house that she was in. The other children would go to school, but she would be the one to stay behind and be the servant. She was beaten at different times. She grew up feeling so much rejection in her life. When she was about 15, she was with her mum at that time. And her mum just left and just disappeared. She didn't know for how long, but it was for years. And at that time, the landlord came, wanted money for the house they were living in, and she had no money. So she ended up living in a neighbor's chicken house for some many months. But at some point, she met Jesus in that story, and a YWAM team came to her area, and that's how they encouraged her to come and do a DTS. So this is kind of the testimony of her life and just how God turns around lives. And as she came to do the DTS, she hardly spoke any English, but the discipleship training school is about just helping people to grow in their relationship with Jesus, to really make it personal, to really live lives that are wholehearted for Him. And so that's what she did, and her life has not been the same since that time, since she came to Jesus, since she came, did the discipleship school, and the person that you see there is a different person. So yeah, we just want to give testimony to what God can do in lives. I think that's...
Yeah, I think some of you saw Peace when she was here last time and you heard her singing. So she's not here, so this time I'm going to sing to you. Is that okay? We all have different giftings. But you saw that Peace was able to stand in front of you and to share a testimony and to sing, and she sings boldly and she sings joyfully of the goodness of God. And yet, in her background, she's been beaten and abused. People even got metal rods and burnt her with those because to discipline her. So she suffered a lot, but now she's giving testimony to the goodness of God in her life. A third aspect of the work that we do in Hopeland. Hopeland is a very green and beautiful place, but it's set amongst a lot of poverty. This village, which you can see, this house is in a village. The village is called Namaziba. And Namaziba in the local language means a place where nothing good can happen, where no development can take place. It's like a cursing name. And into the middle of that, God planted Hope Land. So Satan says there is no hope. And into that situation, God said, there is hope. And he planted a community of Christians. Now, the lady pictured there, she's called Judith. She had a vision to start working with... A vision to work with the women from the local village. And she understood that as a Christian, she couldn't leave her neighbors living like that, so she got the vision to start building houses for people. This is one of the houses that was built. Again, it's a cheap house made of mud, but it has a decent roof and decent walls, and a person can live a decent life in that house. We also managed to build some brick houses as well. So that was testimony to God's goodness. The other thing I wanted to say about that project, though, is that it has transformed the village of Namaziba. Because many of the people in Namaziba have now come to Christ. There was a terrible problem in that village of alcoholism. And as people have turned to Christ, they have given up alcohol. And as they've given up alcohol, they now have money to spend on their children, to take their children, to feed their children at least. And we can see that there's been a real change and a great reduction in poverty in Namaziba. Satan says there is no hope. We say that is a lie. But one of the cries of the heart, in the heart of many of the women, was to be able to educate their children. So we also have a preschool. And the preschool, it teaches children, obviously, reading and writing, but it also teaches them to know Jesus. And many of the parents have testified, our kids are different. As they've come to know Jesus, they have changed. And one of the things they say to us is, please, our kids are enjoying your preschool, but what about when they're grown and they want to go to primary school? Can you now start for us a primary school so they can continue to know Jesus as they get older? So that is one of the dreams that we have. But there is also a testimony from this preschool, because Janine is the head teacher in that school. The children are supposed to pay a fee to come to school, but Janine saw that many of the parents couldn't afford even the small fee. So one day, she felt God told her to go into the village, and she went into the village and she said to the parents, you let your children come. Whether they have a school fee or whether they don't, you let your children come. And now there's about 40 children there who are not paying school fees. And it was a step of faith from Janine. She didn't know where the money was coming from. But sure enough, when she took that step of faith, God led somebody from far away who didn't know anything about our school to start sending money to subsidize some of the school fees. And we're also now we're sponsoring some of these children to go to primary school as well. We give testimony to the goodness of God. We thank God for his blessings, every blessing that he pours out, the summer blessings. I don't want to dwell so much on the winter blessings, except to say that those ones are also there, and they're also blessings. May God bless you all. Thank you for listening.
Now may the God of the summer blessing and the God of the winter blessing meet you and bless you wherever you are this day. And may the peace of God and the blessing of God and the presence of God surround you and those you love this day and evermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's finish with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.